And now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I am going to begin reading at verse 4. And I want you to note one word in particular. And that is the word together as we read through several of these verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, after a word of prayer. Our Father, we ask thy blessings upon the reading of the Scripture and the preaching of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, very eloquently, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 4, but God, it's a mad, mixed up world, but God. There are a lot of problems, but God. War is raging, but God. Sin is rampant, but God. Hearts are broken, but God. Families are torn apart, but God. God is still on his throne. He will take care of his own. His promises are true. He'll see us right through, for God is still on his throne. Well, I better get off that because I haven't even gotten to my text yet. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In President Nixon's campaign, a little girl made headlines all over America, and I'm sure around the world, because in one of his whistle stop speeches somewhere out in the Northwest, I don't remember, a little girl held up a sign that just had three words on it. Bring us together. Beloved, if there is a need in the Christian world today, it is the need of being brought together. Now, I'm not speaking about an ecumenical movement, because the ecumenical movement wants you to forget what you believe about the Word of God and say that it doesn't matter. Let's just all come together. I heard about a church over here on the other side of Dallas, the little town that sounds like an insect. What's the name? Mesquite, yeah, Mesquite. And they're doing away with their Sunday services altogether. They're meeting on Friday night. And they're going to leave the church open. Everybody wants to go in and do their thing. If they want to dance, go on in and dance. If they want to go in and sing, go on in and sing or pray or whatever they want to do. But they're doing away. That's what the ecumenical movement wants to do. Get us all to break down the lines. But beloved, as long as you have to put up with me as a pastor, if this church has to stand alone, I pray God will never bow to the monster and the image of the ecumenical movement. Amen. We couldn't get along with those fellows because we believe the Bible is the Word of God and they don't. That's not the kind of togetherness I'm talking about. And I'm going to preach a sermon on that one of these days. I'm just talking about it now. But what we do need is for people of like faith. What do you believe this morning? You say you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is virgin born. The way of salvation is the cross of Christ. The resurrection, the second coming. We need to get together then. I pray God that He will, in His own time and in His own way, bring us together. He has quickened us together. He has made us sit in heavenly places together. He has built us together. And I say, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. I'm talking to you about togetherness this morning. Let there be togetherness. First, because believers should assemble together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are. Some members of Worth Baptist are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are, but exhorting one another. What does that mean? That means you ought to say to your fellow Christian, it's important that we go to church tonight. Don't leave it all for the, don't let the pastor get all the embarrassment. Exhorting one another to do what? To assemble yourselves together. And Paul says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason you ought to be in church more this Sunday than you were last Sunday is because we're 1 week closer to the day. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I believe God has a prescribed pattern, a prescribed place, a prescribed time, and a prescribed manner that Christians ought to come together. And I believe they ought to come together in the church to worship. The pattern is all through the book of Acts, the early church. Someone said, he who neglects worship is neglecting the only thing that separates man from beasts. Now let me give you a rerun on that. Slow motion. He who neglects worship is neglecting the only thing that separates man from beast. Worship, assembling together, is God's command. The greatest calamity that could come to the United States is not a recession, or a depression. In fact, and this is in parentheses, I'm not so sure that that might not be the best thing that could happen to us. For if we had to stand in the bread line in the morning, we'd be on the kneeling line tonight. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Now let me go back and finish my statement. The greatest calamity that could happen to America is not recession or depression or war or poverty or famine. The greatest calamity that could happen to our country is the loss of freedom to worship. And if some of you don't stop kicking it around, you're going to lose it. If you don't stop abusing it, you're going to lose it. The Lord's Day, Sunday, is at the base of our culture and the base of our civilization. Such a tragedy that Christians all over the world are desecrating the only day that separates everything that God is from everything the devil is. Sunday is a firm foundation on which to build a good six-story week. You know, we've got the thing in reverse. A lot of people think that Sunday comes at the end of the week, but Sunday's the first day of the week. Which suggests to me if we start the week out right, we'll end it up right. We started out honoring God. Christians ought to assemble together to worship, to pray, to break bread, to praise God, to meet our stewardship commission, to sing. And beloved, most of all, to meet with the presence of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. The church is gathering together, the church's assembly is the most important thing in this world. There are only two elements required for worship: God and man. No wonder the psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God our Maker, for we are the sheep of His pasture and the people of His hand." I say we assemble to break bread like last Sunday night, the Lord's table. We gathered around it to break bread, to pray. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. We meet together to praise God. The psalmist says in 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt His name." Oh, let us exalt Him together. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. That's what worship is all about. It is again the place where we can come and bring the first fruits of our substance and our income as we worship the God of the universe, the God who gave us all that we have. Daddy, don't expect your son to be faithful in stewardship if you're not. Mother, don't expect the daughter to tithe her income if you don't. And don't expect the church to prosper and be what it ought to be if you are not faithful along that line. I say again that believers should assemble together. Now again, I say let there be togetherness because believers should be laborers together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9. every man shall receive his own reward according to his own work. For we are laborers together with God. Did you know that God has taken us into his business? This is a divine human economy. This is God and man working together. I know when we were growing up in the Sunday school, we used to sing the little song, "If we'll all pull together, pull together, pull together, what a Sunday school we'll have." Beloved, if every member of Worth Baptist Church would pull together this summer, instead of one going in one direction and one pulling in another, pull together. What a testimony. What a Sunday school. What a mission program. What a church. If we'll all labor together as laborers together with God, be thankful that God has counted you worthy to make you labor with him. We are laborers together. There's nothing wrong with the harvest in the world. Nothing wrong with the harvest down there in Central America, Costa Rica, is it, Brother Waters? Harvest is ready to be reaped, isn't it? Nothing wrong with the harvest in Fort Worth. The trouble is, the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And they're getting fewer all the time. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest. Laboring together. In the rebuilding of the temple in the days of Ezra, in chapter 4 and verse 3, we read, "We ourselves together will build unto the Lord." Togetherness, laboring for God. You know, God will never forget what you do for him. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul writes that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love in his name. In his name. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in a disciple's name, you receive a disciple's reward. Jesus said, I was once hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you tended to me. I was in prison and you visited me. Somebody interrupted him right then and said, Jesus, when were you ever hungry or thirsty? Or sick, or in prison? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of my little ones, you've done it unto me. When you go out and labor for the Lord, help somebody else, you're helping Jesus. Laboring together. No wonder Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Laborers together. Up in Canada in the vast wheat field some years ago, a little boy was lost. And all afternoon and all night, the search party went out, one in this direction, one in that direction, one in this direction, and one back over here. And when the morning came, they had searched in vain. Someone suggested that they simply join hands. Everybody line up with their hands joined together. And walk out over that big wheat field. And ere long, someone stumbled over the cold, lifeless form of a little boy. And the news was brought to mother. And she cried, "Oh my God, why didn't we join hands sooner?" Oh, beloved, out there in the world, there's some lost boys. Sunday school teachers, there's some lost boys and lost girls. Church member, there's some lost people. Maybe in the morning, we might wake up and say, "My God, why didn't we join hands last night?" Let us labor together for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Believers should labor together. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto all good works. Let there be togetherness, because the believers should share in the common faith together. In Acts 2:44, "And all they that believed were together and had all things common." It's not my church or your church. It's not my business or your business. It's not my money or your money. It's not my time or your time. It's ours together. Let us share in the common faith. Let there be togetherness. For, beloved, the world is cruel. And out there are many pitfalls. There are many problems. There are many heartaches. There are many hills to climb. There are many valleys to pass through. But let us share the common faith together. Why don't we make this church a common sharing place? Why don't we all share the responsibility together and not just a few? Let us all share the common faith together. For if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Let there be togetherness. And then I say, let there be togetherness, because believers should accept the fact that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things work together. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that love God, to them who are the called according to His promise. Now, let's look at that verse again. Let's break it down into just segments of two words. We know. All things work together. Love God. Called according to His purpose. All things. The bitter, the sweet, the comforting, the discomforting, the light, the dark, the happy, the sad, life and death, time and eternity, morning and night, all things work together. I read a story about a young man who decided he'd be a peach farmer. Went off to school and trained in horticulture, invested his money in a track of land and set out his little seedlings. And they grew and they grew. And they looked so promising. But then one night the north wind blew in and a frost settled down over them. Next Sunday the young man didn't go to church. Second Sunday, the young man didn't go to church. Third Sunday, the young man didn't go to church. And so the pastor went to visit him. "No," he said, "and I won't, that's not the half of it. I won't be back next Sunday. You think I'm going to worship a God who let my peaches die with frost?" The old man, seasoned with age and experience and mellowed with the love of God, said, "Young man, God loves you more than he does those peaches. God knows that peaches can grow better without frost, but men can't. And his object is to grow men and not peaches. All things work together. Death, divorce, problems, heartaches, difficulties, all things work together." The old colored preacher was called on to preach the funeral of a little boy who died in the community. And he took Romans 8:28 and just started out, "All things work together." And he said, "Now, folks, I want to call your attention to the fact that the good book says that things don't work for our good separately, they work together. This is one of them, they're separate things. You are looking at it separately, look at it together. Listen to that brass band," he said. "Why, if you took out every one of those instruments separately, it'd be some mighty poor music. The high tenor is so shrill and the bass is so low. But when you bring all the instruments together, there's music." And he said, "This death of this little boy is the bass instrument sounding a discomforting note. But wait a while, for God's silver trumpet of resurrection is going to blow with the bass trumpet. And there'll be sweet music in heaven. All things work together. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by, the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. And we know that all things work together for the good." Paul didn't say all things are good. You know better than that. Paul knew better than that. I know better than that. But all things work together for our good. Job accepted that, didn't he? "The Lord giveth," before Romans 8:28 was ever written. "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And we know that all things, believers, accept the fact that all things work together. And then, believers should look to the day when we shall all be caught up together. Who's going to bring us together? Well, The United Nations is not going to bring us together. Washington's not going to bring us together. The Supreme Court is not going to bring us together. The war on poverty is not going to bring us together. The big deal is not going to bring us together. The new deal, the great deal, the fanciful deal, none of these are going to bring us together. But Jesus is. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Don't you agree with me this morning? There ought to be togetherness. Because when the final bell is rung and the final song is sung and the final trumpet is blown, we'll be together forever with the Lord. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we ask thy blessings now in these moments of the invitation. We know that it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit. Now, dear God, there are Christians here this morning who need to get together in the fellowship of the church. There are members of this church, Heavenly Father, who need to come together around an altar prayer and be together with us in our plans and programs of the Sunday school and of the church. And of all of these things, help us to come together, Heavenly Father. Help us to come together. And dear God, there may be some who have never trusted Christ who need to come together with him in salvation. And there surely are those, Heavenly Father, who are outside the confines of the church. They need to come together and identify themselves with this fellowship today. May they come. And dear God, we pray somehow, some way, in thine own time, in thine own manner, that thou wouldst bring us together. And dear God, may that movement of togetherness begin this morning. May it begin in the hearts of members of Worth Baptist Church to come together in prayer around an altar. To say by that preacher, I want to come together with a total ministry of the church. I want to be fully, totally committed and involved. May they come today. And may Christ be honored, is our prayer in his name. While you remain in the congregation in prayer with your heads bowed, we're going to sing a stanza two of the invitation hymn. And if God speaks to your heart, if there's that longing and fainting in your heart to be together, totally, fully, all the way, I want you to slip out this morning. I'll stand here at the front. You can come stand with me, or you can bow about the altar. If you're out there this morning, you're not a Christian, you're not saved, I want you to come and trust the Lord. You're out there and you need to come into the fellowship of the church by letter from another Baptist church, or by baptism, or by your statement. I want you to step out this morning.